when your lot is at stake, are they going to look for you? Or have you burnt so many bridges with your holier-than-thou attitude, they don't want to hear anything you've got to say? Oh, Brother Ames, that sounds like the first step to compromise. When you start calling me holier-than-thou, if you holier-than-thou, your stand ain't worth a hill of beans. Who'd he want to help him? Abram the Hebrew. Because he knew the last time there was a problem, Abram the Hebrew did right. He knew the last time he needed help, Abram the Hebrew had the answer. Anybody in this room who has lived a sinful lifestyle and then because of a message, because of a death in the family, because of an overdose, because of a tragic accident that came within a hair of taking your life, wanted to turn over a new leaf, be a better person, you name it. You know how hard it was to go another direction with your life. As long as you were complying with the enemy, everything was fine. But the minute you wanted something to change, hell and the devils of hell came against you to destroy those things. The lie that was bought. The lie that was bought. Can I get you to stop for a minute and enter and go in your heart and in your mind and ask yourself, you precious, I thought of y'all, you young people and you children. I thought of you the whole time I prayed and studied and prepared. I said, Lord, we all need this. I don't care if you're 85. We all need this, but boy, these young people, the devil is trying to sell them a lie that is going to destroy them. And I beg of you not to believe his lie. Would you look at verse number 10? And the veil, when you hear the word veil, does that not sound beautiful? Right? It's a short version for what we would call valley. It's a low place between two mountains. The veil, you can just hear it in poetry. You hear the word veil. Look at this veil. The veil of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains. Number one, the lie that was bought. I hope the guys will get with me on this one. Number two, the land that was bogged. Let me tell you something. It's one thing if you get on a four-wheeler and go there on purpose. If you're trying to get out of Dodge, a bogged-up valley is not where you want to be. And here is what grips me about that verse. They were in land that they knew and understood. So if they knew there were slime pits here, why did they make every effort to get out of here and get so bogged down in what had always been there? They thought they were smarter. Sin makes you stupid. Now, all you kids whose mommies and daddies don't let you say that word, don't go home and say it, okay, and say the preacher did, okay? Sin makes you stupid. You'll go through a valley of slime pits and you'll go, it won't get me. Y'all want me to stay on valleys and slime pits and mud bogging, or do you want me to get on the internet? Oh, I'm strong enough. I know when to hit escape. No, you don't. No, you don't. Your mind knows how far to take you. Your heart, your wicked heart. Follow your heart. That's the dumbest advice anybody ever gave a friend. Follow your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? We don't even know how bad it is. The veil of slime pits was an area that they should have known about, but they thought they were smarter. They thought they knew how to dodge them. They thought their chariots, they thought their whatever was easy, was well equipped to get them through that. And they bogged down and the enemy captured them. Nobody in this room, young, old, middle-aged, male or female, is smart enough and savvy enough to navigate the slime pits of this world. And let me tell you how prevalent they are. Listen to your pastor. Brother Raines, when will I face my next slime pit? Today. Preacher Raines, when will you encounter a slime pit? Now, I'm not going to put myself where they are, but let's face it, we live in a world that's full of them. And if you think, oh, this is a once-a-year occurrence where the devil drags some temptation in front of me. No, no, no. You're going to see, hear, or experience something today that if you don't crucify it with the power of the Holy Spirit, it will lead you down a wrong road. And nobody who's ever ended up in the slime pit got there in one jump. It took a step at a time. You would be wise to look back over every step, not physically, literally, mentally, visually, audibly, over every step you've taken this week and say, was that a step in the wrong direction? You would too. You with me? Say, Brother Raines, did something instigate this message? Yeah, God's word. I don't need stories. I don't need current events. I don't need a prayer request texted to me for me to understand that this world seeks to devour us. It's heartbreaking. Boys, did you take one step this week in the wrong direction? It starts with one. Anybody who's ever made a spectacle, a tragedy of their life, it started with one. And God help us, the field that bogged them down. They were there, they knew it, and they thought they were smarter than that. One more illustration and I'm moving to the next point. Many years of my life were in with youth and music and or Christian education, and those usually overlapped and all of that. Sketch, I have sat with numerous young people your age in an office. And Brother PJ, I'd say, you're taking some steps in the wrong direction. And they'd say, I'm being careful, Mr. Raines. I'll be all right. I'm being careful. And they wouldn't disagree with me. They'd say, yeah, I've got a friend that's kind of suspect. I need to be careful, but I am being careful. When you stay in a ministry 40 years, you all up in each other's business. And you know each other's stories. And Silas, I would say, now I'm not being ugly. I would say this to the young person. I'm not being ugly. But your cousin, your aunt, somebody we knew and loved made these choices, went that direction, and it didn't end well. Jared, time after time after time, they'd go, you're right. You're right. But he's stupid. She's dumb, Miss Rain. You know her. She is dumb as a box of rocks. I'm smarter than her. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Mackenzie, I'd say, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're on the same road, headed the same direction, making the same choices, but you think you're going to end up in a different place? Tell me who's dumb. Are you with me? The land that was bogged. What an awesome word. Bogged down with the things of this world. Look at verse number 13. And there came one that had escaped. When I stop, say the next word. And told Abram the... Point number 3. The looked for brother. The last time I used you as a sermon illustration, Alec, were you a good guy or a bad guy? You want to be a good guy or a bad guy today? Stand up. So, you're Lot today, okay? You're Lot. You're not doing good. You bogged down in a slime pit. Come here. Get over there, Abe. You're Abram. I think you were Lucifer last time. Come here. You escaped. He's Lot. He's bound up. Okay, you escaped. You ready? Stay there. Show me that you're bound. Yeah, there we go. Come on, you're this. You escaped. And you're looking for people all along the way. And here's what you're saying. I'm looking for Abram the
Hebrew.
Hebrew. Say it louder.
I'm looking for Abram the Hebrew.
Okay, so tell him. Tell two or three who you're looking for.
I'm looking for Abram the Hebrew.
And there he is. Abram the Hebrew. Why didn't you stop at any of those spots? They can't help him. they're in the same slime pits. Only one man can help him, and it's Abram the Hebrew. Okay, have a seat. That phrase is not found anywhere else in your Bible. Nowhere else will you find that phrase, Abram the Hebrew. Christian, why did he call him Abram the Hebrew? It was who he was. It was his faith. When your lot is at stake, are they going to look for you? Or have you burnt so many bridges with your holier-than-thou attitude, they don't want to hear anything you've got to say? Oh, Brother Raines, that sounds like the first step to compromise. When you start calling me holier-than-thou, if you holier-than-thou, your stand ain't worth a hill of beans. Who'd he want to help him? Abram the Hebrew. Because he knew the last time there was a problem, Abram the Hebrew did right. He knew the last time he needed help, Abram the Hebrew had the answer. He doesn't think Abram the Hebrew's perfect. He's seen him at his lowest point. But he knew that Abram the Hebrew knew how to repent and get right with God. Y'all with me? Who's Abram the Hebrew are you? So let's transfer it to Christianity, the Christian label in the New Testament and beyond. Jared, when somebody I know and love who's bound up in Sodom and Gomorrah needs help, I want them to say, go get Uncle Doug. He's a Christian. Go get Preacher Raines. He loves God. He never stopped telling me the truth, but I always knew he loved me. We are supposed to be somebody's Abram the Hebrew. Who is doing the searching in this passage? Obviously, it's somebody else, an unnamed person escaped, but we know that Lot was a great influence in that. And he said, if you can find my uncle, Abram the Hebrew, he'll know what to do to get us out of this mess. Are you with me, church? If we get so torn out of the frame and overwhelmed with the darkness of the situation that they're in, we can still be, this is before the law was ever given. But Abram had such a walk with God that when Lot got into trouble, he said, I know who can help me. Verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, what did I just read over very quickly? Abram heard that. You see, Brother Raines, that's just what God told Moses to write when he wrote this passage. Oh no, that word is not there by accident. That word is there because that's telling us Abram's heart. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Number four, the love that led to a battle. Who went after who? Abram went after Lot. And there's Bible students and Bible readers in here, and we've talked early and we've talked often about the fact that the father stayed at the house, the prodigal son had to hit rock bottom and come home. There are times when that is the answer. Can I get an amen? There's other times when you need to man up and go get them. Preacher, how do I know which one is which? I've got a heavenly father, and I've got a prayer closet, and I can get on my knees and I can say, Lord, do they need to hit rock bottom, or is it time for me to go in and do a search and rescue operation? You with me? Preacher, is that always easy to discern? Absolutely not. If it's blood kin, what's your heart going to tell you to do? Go after them. But I promise you there are times, Brother Wayne Henderson preached one of his last messages here before the Lord called him home. He often spoke of the ministry of the hog pen. Some of us have rescued them so much, they look at us as a free ticket out. And that's not the answer. But I am telling you, in the text that I am preaching today, Abram said he can't get out by himself. Thank you, Lord. That's probably the answer. Can they get out by themselves or not? That prodigal, all he had to do was sling his sorry leg over that hog pen rail and get out. Are y'all with me? Abram said, Lot can't get out of this situation by himself. I need to go. God help us. Look at the tactics that he used to go get him. Look at the second line in my Bible. And when Abram heard that his, say it, brother, he never gave up on that close bond. And please understand, I'm talking about something broader than blood kin, although this applies to blood kin. It may be somebody that you know and love and you've poured into for the last 20 years, and they may not be blood kin, but you love them that much. When Abram heard that his brother was down there, he went after him. So here's number one on this love that was worth a battle. Number one, it was personal to him. You're not going to touch anybody if it's not personal to you. Here's what we want to do in 2023. We want to love from a distance. We want to give in the diaper offering and let the ladies meet on Wednesday and prepare care packages and Billy and Beverly drop them off at Open Arms on Thursday. But we don't want to get our hands dirty and mess with a dark and ugly situation. If you're going to touch anybody's life in these days, you better be willing to get down in the trenches and get some mud on you. It was personal to Abraham. Look secondly at this line here. There's more to it than I'm going to give you today. He armed his trained servants. He was prepared for this day before it got here. Some of us should pray and prepare for a healed relationship and how to help somebody when that glad day comes, when they're willing to admit that they need it. They were trained and prepared for this. And I want you to look at the end of verse number 14. Armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318. And look at that next verb there, pursued them unto Dan. You want to know how far he went? 120 miles. Now, 120 miles isn't a big deal to us today, is it? And think about the day that they're living in. Think about the location where they are. He went to get this person at great personal expense. So I want to ask you something. If there's a lot at stake, are you willing to incur some personal hardship to see them helped, loved, and restored? Lastly, look at verse number 22. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto thee. Say it. Say, Brother Raines, what's that got to do with this story? After he had rescued Lot and brought him back out of captivity, the king of Sodom wants to pay him for all of his efforts. Abram makes it real clear. He says, I've lifted up my hand to the Lord. He said, other than what is rightfully theirs, I don't want anything you've got. What's he saying? He said, this wasn't all about you. This wasn't really all about Lot. This was all about Jehovah. I've heard great missionaries say this. I'm picking a country. I didn't go to Peru because I love the Peruvians. I went to Peru because I love God. You can go to Peru because you love the Peruvians, and after about 6 weeks of their ways, coming into church 20 minutes late and staggering in and out, it kind of sounds like Progress Baptist. You go somewhere because you love them, and that's going to run real thin. But when you go somewhere because you love Jesus, you're going to stay. And Abram goes, he looks the king of Sodom in his eyes and goes, whoa, time out, king. This wasn't all about you. This wasn't all about Lot. This was all about Jehovah. I've spent most of my life trying to get Lot tied to Jehovah. Not me. You have no better verse in your Bible than verse 22 telling you where Abram's heart was, and it was all about God. So I've preached for the last 30 minutes about you and me loving and reaching and caring and sacrificing to reach somebody. But do you know why we do it, Jake? It's not because of you. As much as I love you and respect you and think you have a ton of potential, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. Parents, you better listen to me. You do it for God. And they'll be the beneficiaries and the recipients. But if they walk away from every bit of it, Brother John, you do it for God. And I don't know how anybody could be any plainer, begging them and pleading with them, scolding them, whatever, rebuking them, whatever it takes to keep them from walking away from it. But if they do, I did it for God. Forgive me for the personal illustration. We formed a new trio this week. Chris was cooking for graduation. Josh was taking care of Raylan. Me, Emily, and Natalie, okay? Went to a meeting Friday night. And we were talking about the schedule and how to keep everything balanced. And Brother Henderson, Natalie said, Dad, she said, we're just having to pick and choose which trips we're working with Raylan right now. And here's what she said. She said, we're trying to win her heart. Now, for those of you who don't know, Raylan's the grand old age of 22 months. And I hope nobody in here thought, that's silly. Keep her diaper changed. You know, that's as good as it gets at 22 months. No, no, no. You start early winning that heart to Jesus. And brother, here's what went through my heart. I was driving. I just listened. And Jared, I thought, I remember those days of starting super early begging God to get their heart. Church, that's our goal for these young. Listen to your preacher. I'm not interested in 35 people, including young people and children, who impress the brethren. I'm interested in 35 or 40 on the platform who have a heart for God. If we look the part and we impress people, but we have a heart that's full of dead men's bones, and we hadn't done anything to glorify God. And so as much as I had to say everything that I said about slime pits and bogs and buying a lie from the devil, as much as I said about this, the heart of the message is, who are you doing it for? You better be doing it for God. I better be pastoring for God. I better be warning y'all about the evils of this world and telling you to build your home on the Word of God and telling you to, encouraging you to keep your children out of the world, keep yourself out of the world. I ought to be doing all of that is part of pastoring. But if my motive is not for Him and to Him, it's absolutely worthless. Because I got news for you. The Muslims have better standards than we do. Their women look through peepholes. That's all that's uncovered. So if I'm trying to impress you, I'd have to beat the Muslims. Everybody all right? I want a heart. You say, Brother Raines, why'd you go there? Of all places, why'd you go there at the end of this message? Because I ministered one-on-one to many Muslims at the Greenville County Detention Center. And they'd say, I want to talk to somebody that's religious. And it's funny how when you get in trouble, that's where you turn. And I'd sit down and talk to them. I said, you know, I don't believe what you believe. They said, I don't care. I just want to talk to somebody who's got better than the psychology department is sending me. This world doesn't have any answers. Y'all figured that out. And I'd sit down with them and I'd say, okay, well, I'm going to bring a Bible. That's fine. I just want to have a religious discussion. Okay, great. I'll have one. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I said, I've got a living, breathing, morning, day, and night relationship with my Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know what I'm talking about? They said, I don't have a clue. I said, well, tell me what you believe. He said, I follow the five pillars of Islam. I do exactly what my mosque and my imam tell me to do. And that's all I know, Pastor. I said, you're missing out. You have no idea what it's like for God the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and for you to have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you a question. Look at verse number 22, please. I have lift up my hand unto the Lord. Who are you doing what you're doing for? Why do you live this way? Why do you avoid what you avoid? Why are you careful? I hope you're careful. But why? Is it for Him? Is it for Him? And I close with where I started. Stay the course. There's a lot at stake. That family member, that coworker, that neighbor who might be giving you fits, you may be the only one who can get them out of the slime pits of this world.